Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Our Reverend has been a blessing to her.
Good night, everyone. My name is Tromel Critchlow, and I'm 14 years old, and I'm also a home cell leader of All By Star. We are here to celebrate the one and only Reverend Victor Collins, the one who treated me like a daughter, a friend, and everything that I need to be treated like. He is the reason for who I am today. He encouraged me. He gave me good advice as well. He also come to me and teach me the right things. Like, because I used to like wearing short clothes and so on. And I used to like going party as well. So he teach me and tell me that I should be a young lady, act like a young lady, and come to church regularly and so on. So as you can see, I'm properly dressed today. And I used to like curse a lot as well. Anywhere, anytime too. So he told me if I curse again, you will burn my tongue. So I decided to stop cursing because I don't want my tongue to get burned. So I would like to thank my father for teaching me the right thing so I can become who I am today, and people will have much more respect for me. Amen.
Amen. Let's put our hands together and let's welcome Brother Evander Griffiths. Amen.
Good night, everyone. My name is Evander Griffiths, and I am a home cell leader as well of a large housing scheme, Eliezer Street. I have been coming to this church for about 6 months now, and when I first came, I had Rasta here. I was a Rasta. So every morning when I was a Rasta, I used to get up and smoke, and didn't have no time for bother with Bible and these kind of stuff. But since I come in here, and Reverend has changed my life tremendously, the first thing I reach to now is my Bible to do my quiet times in the morning. And I was in one of the services and we were preaching about confusion. So that was the day when I got something was speaking to me as I was sitting in the service, and it was telling me to cut my hair as I go home. So when I left and I went home, I told my sister, I take the same scissors that I used to cut up the weed with. And I tell my sister, I need her to take the scissors and cut off my hair. So she started to cry, and I was like, why are you crying? And she did it, and I am here today. And I would just like to thank Reverend for being my father, a pastor, and also a mentor to me. I would just like to thank him. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Just fix your mind, fix your heart. What God has in store for you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, pray for your mind, pray for your heart. There's a lot to speak to you. After a hard day's work, you don't want to tune off or tune out on God. You don't want to shut off. You don't want to start dozing when God begins to speak to you. Pray to be alert. Pray to be alive. Pray that you don't miss anything tonight as the word of God comes forth. Lift up your voice, somebody, all across this room. Pray. Lebruske brendes. Manderebe kabra sataya. Soak your mind in the blood of Jesus tonight. Mama manderebe kabras kabarandas. Lebrosi baba kebrebebe. Lebrebebebebebebe shikabara baba. Raborobo shikabarandere. Manderebe kebres kabaranda. Pray. Morondos. Kererendes. Mandere me cabras cabaranda raba cabranda. Les que berende macabra baba. Liberere. Librosa tabara baba. Liberere shikabra raba sakabara baba. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out fresh on me. Fill me with your power and satisfy. Fall afresh on me.
Fall afresh on me.
Fill me with your power tonight. Lift up your hands as we worship the Lord. With your eyes closed tonight. In the kingdom we worship. In the kingdom we worship. Jesus, you mean all the world to me. I adore you, Lord. You saw me in my need. Let's worship the King in the kingdom now.
You saw me in my need.
Worship is an act. Worship is an act.
I'm not a sinner. You took my sin and shame forever. I'm bless your holy name. And I adore you. I adore you. Lamb of God, my Savior, Prince of.
Jesus, you mean all the world to me.
I adore you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. I adore you, Lord.
For the last time you saw me in my need. Me in my need. You paid the price for me. I'm not the same again.
Now I am not the same.
Oh.
I sin and shame. Forever I will bless your holy name.
I adore you.
I adore you. Lamb of God, my Savior, Prince of Peace.
Jesus, you mean all the world to me.
I adore you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. I adore you, Lord.
I adore
you.
Father, tonight we adore you, we honor you, we praise you, and we bless you. We worship you, O God, for you are awesome, you are great, you are mighty, you are excellent. Bible says your faithfulness is forevermore. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy towards us. Thank you for the things we enjoy and receive freely from you. Thank you for a time like this, oh God, our Lord. It is only you who can make life possible. Without you, nobody will be alive. And it's by your grace and your mercies that keeps us going and keeps us alive. Thank you for bringing us together again. Your presence tonight, Tuesday evening. Thank you for everyone who is here, I pray. And Lord, once minds are ready and hearts are prepared, you speak unto us. Let the seeds of the word of God come into the fields, the earth, the soil that is ready and especially receptive for your word tonight. Let us, O God, not leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for everything you've been doing for us. In Jesus' name, and somebody shouted amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. Are you glad you're here tonight?
Yes.
All right. You have to prepare for the convention, isn't it? About next 2 weeks, I think. Yeah, Apostle Joel is coming. Everybody must come. You have to give him a very good reception, isn't it? All the way from California. You have to prepare for him, so... It's going to be better than what we have in the choir. He's going to sing songs. You're going to dress up. You're going to sing songs. No, not one song. 2, 3, 4 songs. Dancing stars, plenty. You're going to have skit and things. It's going to be very exciting every evening. What do you think? It's anytime. It must be celebration. Anytime we come to the house of the Lord, it shouldn't be like only a day like this. It must be a celebration time. Must have things, to, you know, people are excited and dancing and rejoicing. You know, to make us feel that, yeah, indeed, we're in the house of the King. How many understand what I'm trying to say? All right. Tonight, I want to continue sharing on you must grow, isn't it? Is that what we've been talking about? Okay. You must grow. Turn to somebody and tell them you must grow. 2 Peter chapter 3. If you brought your Bibles, If you have a Bible, you brought your Bible. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Wow, it's good to see Brother Calvin in front. Sitting down and relaxing. He has been promoted. It's a sign of growth. Therefore, dear friends, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you know this in advance, be on your guard so that you are not led away by the error of lawless, that's how we call it, lawless people, and fall from your own stability. So that you are not led away by the error of lawless people. So that you are not led away by the error of lawless people and fall from your own stability. Remember, I'm reading for the HCSB version. If you got it, born again Eve. If you got it, you didn't get it. Okay. So the Bible is saying, yes, Peter is trying to end his letter and he's talking about the stability of the saints, the stability of Christians. And he's saying here that people should not allow the error of the wicked to cause them to fall from their own stability. HCSB version. Fall from their own stability. It's very interesting that he's saying the error. Is it when you fall away because of somebody's error, you are not grounded? Should I say it again? If you fall because of what somebody has done, somebody's error, somebody's mistake, if you happen to be affected by that for you to fall, the Bible says that you have actually fallen from your own stability. It is a very nice state you find yourself that you yourself fall away from there. So who is to be blamed? It's not the person who has made an error, but it is you who has fallen from your stability. Now, to avoid falling from your stability, the Bible says that, but grow, in verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But grow. You must grow. Every Christian must grow. When you give your life to Christ, you must move from glory to glory. You must move from one state to the other. In fact, it's the same Peter who said that let me show it to you. As I speak, it comes. What do you think? It's fantastic that things come when you speak. So you must speak, isn't it? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the image from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we move. The Bible says that it is in Him we move and we live and we have our being. So Christianity is not a way of life that you are stagnant. Christianity is not something that if you're in, I mean, I don't know what the Muslims will tell us about growth. I don't know what the Hindus will tell us about growth. I'm not an expert in that. But I know that in Christ, you move from glory unto glory. You move from one stage to the other. The Bible says that, but you must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we came to the point that as a Christian, you must grow. Today you start, you don't know how to read your Bible. But as you go along, you get to know how to read your Bible. You get to a point where you read your Bible, you don't understand. And at a point when you read it, you understand. And you wonder why you were reading this Bible about a year ago and you couldn't understand. And now you understand. Now you begin to pray. And now you can pray for 1 hour. Meanwhile, when there was a time when even 5 minutes you were sleeping. I mean, people would say that the other day we were in a meeting and people were saying that, you know what? Now when we close from church, I hang around. If you are young, immature, when we close from church, you take your bag and you beat out. But when you mature, you begin to, you know, grow muscles. Then when we close, you're not in a hurry to go. Anybody who is not in a hurry to go, you must note that something has changed about you and you are beginning to grow. I said you are beginning to grow. So we must grow as the scripture says it. Now, how are we going to grow? We grow first by eating. Is it not food? It's food that makes us grow. Just as in a natural, food makes you grow. You see how mothers sometimes are very, very particular about how their children should eat. But you eat nothing for the day. It's only tough for you eating. But hey, come and sit down. In Nigeria, they do it well. When a child doesn't want to eat, the porridge, when the baby, they have babies and you know they are not eating, they hook them. I don't know how what word to use. They tie them down. They tie them upside down. Is it upside down? And then they put the porridge in their mouth and they hold their nose. No, you don't joke. You breathe through your mouth and then the food will go into your stomach. Yeah. Because you must eat. It's eating that brings growth. You must eat a balanced diet. I mean, eating is there, but it's also the balancedness of the food is also another important thing. Are you with me? So the first thing is the eating. And then eating well. If you eat junk food all the time, your growth wouldn't be good. So you must eat. Tell someone to say you must eat. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, you cannot grow without the word of God. Anybody who doesn't read the Bible will not grow. Reading the Bible is not a luxury. It's not something that if you want, if you like. Reading the Bible is what guarantees your growth. So if you don't read the Bible, it means you're not eating. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says that all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2 says that, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. 40 years to get into the land of Canaan. These 40 years. And in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee. Anytime something takes long, you shouldn't worry. God is just trying to see how you react. Those of you who think you're not going to marry, God is watching you. Yeah, he's watching whether you will help yourself or you wait until he sorts you out. Many of you women, you sort yourself out quickly. You're not interested in God sorting you out. God is too slow. You are faster than God. The Bible said, for 40 years in the wilderness. You know where wilderness is? Wilderness is a hard place. It's a difficult place. An uncertain place. A place of uncertainty. A place where you're not sure. A place where there's no hope. Dry! God takes us through some of these times and seasons of our lives. Why? So that he will humble us. You see, when you wait too long, or when you wait for a long time, what happens is that you are not very choosy anymore. Because it affects your mind. So you know, man, I've been waiting too long. Anything that comes, man, Charlie, let me just take this thing and just be quiet. Because if I say no now, I may know when another one is going to come. So the length in waiting makes you humble. And then it is also to prove you and to know really what is in your heart. whether thou will keep his commandments or no. Time is a very, very important element in our lives. Even in this church, time again and again has proven those who are really with us. I say it again. I said, even in this church, when is your birthday and then you get some happy birthday messages and realize that, look at you, you can only send a message on Facebook. That's all that you can do. A time, some time ago, you will be around. But now it's only a Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi birthday greetings you are sending. It's fantastic. Time and time again, it has been proven that time tells a lot about what is in your heart. Time tells a lot about what you say, whether you really mean it or not. Time and time again, the Bible says the length of time, the 40 years, was also God's method of testing what is in the heart of his people. You don't have to do anything fantastic, but if you have been around, that's all. Have you been around? Are you going to be around? It's time. Hey, verse 3, he says that what? And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone. Man was not made to live by bread alone. Just in case that you think that it's only food that makes you live, man was not made to live by bread alone. The Bible says that Jesus was with his disciples. He was hungry. He actually was the one who sent them to Church's Chicken to buy some sandwiches and some spicy wings and all of that. And then whilst they went to buy the chicken, he met this woman at the well. So he started talking to him, started talking to her. Then the conversation went so deep that by the time the disciples brought back Jesus' spicy chicken combo with fries and Mountain Dew. Jesus said, no, I'm okay. The people were wondering, what is he trying to say? He was the one who said he was. We were hungry, but we couldn't say it. But he was the one who said that he was hungry. Now, we've brought the food. He says that he's okay. How can Jesus say he's okay? He's okay because the moment he engaged himself in talking and preaching to the woman, a certain satisfaction and fulfillment came over him that food was not even important anymore. That's why a season comes in our lives and even in our church, you must fast. You must stay away from natural food. Because man, you look at yourself. From January 1st to 31st December, every single day you are eating. Have you thought about it? How many hours of the year that turns into days and weeks that you sleep? Those of you who sleep like 8 hours every day. 8 by 7. By 52. Raphael. That's the number of hours and days people sleep. No, you look at it. You've been eating rice the whole year. Do you know how many bags of rice are in your stomach for the whole year? Caribbean rice. In this house, we use Caribbean rice. No, think about it. You calculate them. The gallons of cokes, the gallons of water, the pounds or kilos of sugar, flour. You think about it in that measure that you have in yourself. That is why you see at a point when we grow older, the system gives up. Because the rice is too much. how many truck loads of rice do you want your system to process? So you must understand that it is not just food. So even every week, you must show that you are not just a human being. You are also a spiritual person. So you do not live by bread alone. That's why Jesus told the devil in Matthew chapter 4 that you are trying to tell me to eat, but the food is not the main thing. There is another thing also, or there are other things that can make me satisfied. So don't try and make me think and act as if food is the only thing. There are many of us, when it comes to fasting time, you disappear. And you've been around a little bit because we have not been fasting really as a church. It's like, okay, all of us are fasting. You'd have gone out and come back later on after the fast. You see, you should turn around and look at everybody's face. January is coming. We are going to fast. You look around and see. Those who go on vacation in January, they travel and they return in February. Man shall not live by bread alone. So if man shall not live by bread alone, then what else can man live by? Then he says, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, yesterday, according to human calendar, was the day I was born many, many, many years ago. And you see, one of the important things for me yesterday was to hear something from God. That was it. So I was in my office, and I was there, and then the Lord spoke to me. I didn't realize I had not even eaten for the day. I mean, on your birthday, is food not one of the things that, yeah. I didn't eat until I got 4 or 5 o'clock. Because when the Lord spoke to me, I was satisfied. I said, thank God I made it. That's what was important. He spoke to me. He spoke to me. I'm filled. Filled. I was telling someone, I said, you know what? So they will say, oh, how was your birthday? I said, my birthday is finished. God has spoken to me, so I'm okay. You want to eat? Okay, let's eat. But I can sleep now without the food. Oh, the food and the drinks and I can do without it. I'm okay. I know what God, man. You should come to that place where your sustenance and your what keeps you alive and well. It's not just food. It's because of you that we have some small canteen out there. If it was left with me, we won't have any place to eat anything around here. Are you after church? Some of you rush home because you're hungry. You have come to church, you are not filled. You need some natural thing also. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. 3 types of food, or 3 ways that we can eat. Number 1, your quiet time. Number 2, your Bible study. Number 3, your Bible reading. Number 4, listening to messages. Number 5, watching preaching videos. Did you get it? Destiny Child. Are you there? Too fast? What? Fast and furious, you know. This is 8. We're looking at growth. And I'm saying that growth comes by eating. Eating is not just the spiritual life we are living, the growth does not come from normal food. It comes from the Word of God. And there are ways that you can eat the Word of God. The first is quiet time. quiet time. Or some people say morning devotion. Malaika. Some people say morning devotion. I say morning devotion, the traditional way of doing morning devotion really doesn't help. Oh, you don't understand? How would you do morning devotion? God is going to talk to all of us. Exodus 34, verse 1. Exodus chapter 34, and verse 1. So the first way by which you eat is your quiet time. It's your quiet time. It must be your quiet moment. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone. You must get used to King James, you know. There's no Creolese Bible. We have to go by the King James Version. So you have to be—you have to learn to be a scholar of King James. Of course, if you can handle it, get a simple Bible. You see, we should trust God for TV screens, so fat screen, big ones on the walls. And these things that are spoiling our eyes. Fairy lights on the street like that. Fairy lights are outside. He said, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And then he said, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. What does 3 say? And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. If you look at Exodus 34, 1 to 3, you see the where quiet time actually comes from. It comes from the fact that, give me verse 2. It comes from, number 1, you must be ready in the morning. Quiet times are done in the mornings. And the Bible says, come onto the mountain. Mountains, there's nobody on the mountain. Mountains don't have disturbances. You can't do quiet time where there's a lot of noise. That's why you do your quiet time very early in the morning. You read your Bible. When I say quiet time, it means you are reading your Bible early in the morning where many people are not awake. If you live in a house where people are used to waking up early in the morning to cook, it means you have to wake up extra early. If you understand quiet time and you understand that it's quiet time that will make you grow. He said, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. To present yourself, what you can learn from here is that when you wake up in the morning, the first person to see you, the first person to have an encounter with you, the first person who must hear and look at you, how you look early in the morning, it's not your spouse. It's not husband. Come, let me do morning devotion. God didn't say come with your husband and your wife. Even though it's very important that now and then, once in a while, husband and wife and children, if you have the opportunity, that you do some morning devotion together. That it is up to you. He said, come alone. Do not let anybody come with you. Quiet time is you alone, your time with God. Are you listening to it? Yeah. So if you're going to do your quiet time, make sure that it is early as possible. Make sure that there is no disturbances. There are no people around. Especially if you wait until it's daytime, your phone will become something else. Those of us who live on phones, man shall not live on phone, cell phone alone. Yeah, every minute your phone is beeping. The moment you wait for everybody to wake up, that's it. You can't go to the mountain. There's disturbances all over. Phone ringing, text messaging, Facebook. You have Facebook on your phone. Every foolish thing on Facebook, you get an alert. I don't have Facebook on my phone. I think it's nonsense. You have it. Every foolish thing. All the 500-600 friends you have. If everybody says, they even cough, you get an alert that they are coughing.
And you open it and see what's happening. I want to go on Facebook. I log in and I go and check. And I log out. Yeah, I still do log in and log out. Hell, it means that I go when I want to go. So when I go, I see how many friend requests. I say, who are those people? Then I look through someone and say, okay, this name sounds nice. Okay. Accepted. This name is not, it's not like a bad person. That's it. Rejected. I do 2, 3, 4 and then I log out. Next time when I go, I say, who has sent me friend requests again? So you go, alert, this, that. Oh, that's so fun. Now they are sending the thing by email. This is a new thing. I didn't used to receive it by email. Now I get the alerts by email. They are filling my inbox with junk. They are trying to make me go on to Facebook to watch things. I don't want to go there. I see it's on your phone. Clip! Because you when your phone is not ringing, you feel very nervous. You think the phone is spoiled. Is it the phone working? There's a lady who had such a problem. So nobody was calling her. And she had 2 phones. So she used 1 phone to call the other one. Because nobody was calling her. So she said, you know what, I'll call myself. Use that 1 phone and call the other phone. And say, hey, okay, the phone is working. It's working. We have some fancy ringtones. You are not hearing the ringtones. You've got a phone. Nobody's calling you. You must call yourself. Use a landline and call your phone. Quiet time must be done early in the morning. God must be the first person you will present yourself to. You must do it alone with no disturbances at all. That's how you do quiet time. Now, before you do your quiet time, you must pray. Brief prayer. I'm just giving you a summary of it. I can do a whole teaching on quiet time. I just want to give you a... I'm talking about growth, so I don't want to go deep into that. There are books about that. Quiet time and all of that. You can go to the bookshop, you can get it. Before you do your quiet time, number one, I've told you about atmosphere, isn't it? You must do it early in the morning. It should be very private. God should be the first person that you present yourself to. Unless you are married, nobody should touch you first in the morning but God. Mercy? No, I'm attacking truth. Unless you're married. For those of us who bust the Bible, you can't bust the Bible. You see, when you bust the Bible, it shows that you just come. I said, I'm giving you a summary. I could have stayed on these points. So, what you should not do about quiet time, number one, don't bust the Bible. Number two, don't read Psalms only. In fact, if you can receive from me, don't read Psalms at all for now. Some of us, it's Psalms we like. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? No. Stay away from Psalms. Don't make you grow. It makes you excited. It makes you feel nice. You see, things that make you feel nice are not necessarily things that make you well. Ice cream is nice. Like you can't wake up in the morning and eat ice cream. And then in the afternoon, eat ice cream. In the evening, eat ice cream. You can't live like that. You have to take your teeth and chew some provisions. Some plantain and some cassava and some edo. You have to chew it and swallow it. It's going to give you energy. When you're not well, you have to take medicine that is not so nice. Are you there? So, don't bust the Bible. When I say don't bust the Bible, for those of you who are not Guyanese, who don't understand, when I say don't bust the Bible, I'm saying that don't take the Bible and open it and say, Lord, lead me today to read the Bible. And then you open it and say, where did you read this morning? So the Lord made me open Psalm 24. The Lord did not make you open no Psalm 24. You bust the Bible. You bust it yourself. I didn't see God's hand opening the Bible for you. Stay away from that. Number two, stay away from Psalms. It's obvious people who read a lot of Psalms. Do you have a background of obiology? Read the Bible. When we say quiet time, you must choose a book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And if you are starting, don't go and read Proverbs. If I ask you, where are you reading? The book you tell me you are reading tells me that you don't understand what you're doing. For example, if I ask, how are you preparing for CXC? From what you say, well, tell me whether you pass or you fail. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Eh? Choose a book. Choose the New Testament. It's much simpler. Don't go and read Proverbs. Don't read Revelation. Even Genesis. Stay away from Genesis. Take Matthew. You have to learn about Jesus. Learn more about Jesus. Learn about who Jesus is. The ministry of Jesus. The life of Jesus. It is one of the first and initial things to get to know about Christianity. So if you choose a book like John, if you don't know what to choose, call me. I'll tell you what you must read. Okay, but the four Gospels are very, very important. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can choose any of them. Then you start from chapter 1. Chapter 1, you read a few verses. I mean, if you grow, or when you grow, you can read one word, and then you'll be satisfied for the morning. Sometimes I read the Bible, it's just one word, I finish. Just one word. One word. And I'm okay. The one word can feed me for about 3-4 days. Can you imagine? When you grow, you understand what I'm saying. But when you are young, you can read a whole book and still not get anything. You read a whole chapter. So, Pastor, I read the whole chapter. I didn't understand anything. No, it means you are still young. So you choose a book. You choose a chapter. You start from chapter 1. And then you read verse 1. Verse 2. Try not to read more than one or two verses unless they are connected to give you a certain meaning. Are you there? Yes. Are you following? Yes. When you read the Bible, one of the most important things I want you to leave tonight's service with is that you must personalize the scriptures you are reading. If you look at what is on the screen, Exodus 34, verse 2. And be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto me, not in the evening. Come up in the morning unto me. Who is the Bible talking to? Moses. You are wrong. It's Moses. Bible is talking to who? You? Destiny Child. Who is the Bible talking to? Who is the Bible saying? Who is God saying that he should come to him early in the morning on the mountain? Who? Who is that? Are you sure? But I don't see your name there. I didn't say, what's your name again? And Dwight, be ready. No. Even though your name is not there, it's you. As long as you read it, you have to personalize what you are reading. Unless you personalize it, you will not benefit from your quiet time. You leave reading the Bible and you wonder what happened. They said I should do my quiet time, but when I do my quiet time, I don't get anything. You don't get anything because you are not personalizing the things you are reading. Personalize it. Someone, give me someone. Quiet time is one of the meals. I'm teaching you how to make quiet time. You boil it for 5 minutes. You add prayer. You add reading. You add personalizing. You make food. I'm teaching you how to cook and eat. Quiet time. It's your breakfast. Yeah, don't let people be around because they will eat the food with you. They will take all the food if you allow people to be around. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the advice or the counsel of people who are not Christians. Who is the Bible talking to? He must say, blessed is Michelle Griffith, who does not live by the advice of ungodly people. He said, so what is God telling me? God is telling me this morning, as I read Psalm 1 and verse 1, that I am blessed, not because I have been praying. I am blessed not because I am giving. I am blessed because I don't live my life by discussing business and issues with people who are not Christians. That alone is something that makes me a blessed person. That alone. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That alone can be your quiet time. You leave the comma. Don't continue. This is verse 1. You finished. Quiet time over. This one alone. Hey, so I will be blessed if I don't listen to advice from ungodly people. It means I'm blessed. That is what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not do that. That alone is enough food for the morning. So when you finish, then you say, okay, let me check my friends list. Go to your Facebook and check your Facebook friends list. Who is ungodly? Delete. If you, because you want to be blessed, you must stay away from ungodly people. That's how you eat, and that's how you grow. That what you read, you personalize it, and then you act on them. Act on what you read. The Bible says that anybody who hears my word in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 and doeth them. Anybody who hears my words, anybody who reads my words, and he doeth them, he does them. He says, I will liken him unto a wise man. A wise man. So if you are wise, when God speaks to you, you do what he tells you to do. If you are foolish, then when God speaks to you, you don't do what he speaks to you about. If you don't grow in 2 months, then I don't know. Then, I don't know. I want to see something I can say. If you do this and you don't grow in 2 months, there's something wrong. Read the scripture, personalize it, and act on it. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It means that no matter who the person is, it could be your grandmother, it could be your cousin, it could be your brother or sister, it could even be your mother or father. As long as they are ungodly, you should watch the counsel they give you. As otherwise, you will never grow. And if you don't grow, the Bible says in John chapter 15 that if you don't grow, God looks at you, you are not growing. It takes you out. John chapter 15, as we close. So first food, first meal is quiet time. Make sure you do it alone. Quiet moment, early in the morning. God should be the only person who sees you, the first person to see you. He mustn't bust the Bible. You should not just stick to Psalms. As you read the Bible, choose a book in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Any of them is good to start with. And then read a verse. Start from chapter 1 and read a verse after verse. Once you read a verse, now personalize the verse. Ask yourself, what is God telling me? What should I do? Every branch in me. Now, if you go to verse 1, it's very interesting. Jesus says that, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Husbandman means a farmer. My Father is a farmer. Verse 2, he just goes immediately to every branch. You see, first he did the introduction of, I am the vine.
And my father is a farmer. He didn't tell us who we are. But we are the branches. He said, every branch in me, are we not in Christ? Yeah. So if you are in Christ, you are a branch. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. How does he take away? It means that even though you be in the church, even though you say you are a Christian, provision and supply is cut off from you. You don't see how your Christian life is going. You don't benefit. In fact, you come to church and don't see the reason why you don't see the reason why you come to church. You come to church and come to church and come to church. You not benefit while you come to church. You are cut off. There are many people like that who come to church. They come to church. They come to church. And then they miss a Sunday. They miss another Sunday because they don't see. There's no benefit. There's no profit. Because as branches, they have been taken away because they are not bearing fruit. And if you are not bearing fruit, you are taken away. There's no benefit. There's no profit. It's like you're doing business. You don't see your way. There are many people in churches who don't see their way. And to them, church is nothing. Church is not so important. Church doesn't really add up. Church really adds up. If you hear what the people were saying, Evander would say, and all of that. It's an addition. Yeah. Something is adding up. Ah, you see progress. You see moving forward. You see glory unto glory. Because what is happening is that as a branch, it's like Jesus is the vine, and when he sees you, he feels very uncomfortable that you are there and then you are just catching breeze. Every other branch has a fruit on it. You know how weird Jesus will look? When every branch bears fruit and then there's this particular branch that is very dry. If you look at such a tree, you wonder. What kind of tree is this? It's strange. No, I don't think I like any mango from this tree. The way one part has mangoes and another part doesn't have mangoes. I don't know what type of mango this is. Yeah. That's why Jesus cursed the fig tree when he realized that it was the season for figs and there was nothing on it. He said, what is the use? What is your use? Let us grow in Christ. Let us grow in the Lord. Let us start. Let us continue. Let us get somewhere. Let there be progress. May you grow. May you grow. May you increase. May you abound until you are stable and unmovable and steadfast. That no matter what happens, you will not be moved and you will not be taken away from your stability. Stand to your feet tonight. Time is up. Hallelujah. So God is watching you. How long have you been around? As you are coming, are you getting better? Is coming to church becoming easier? Is it becoming nicer? Is it becoming sweeter? If it is not, something is wrong. I say, if it is not, then there's something wrong. You need some fertilizer. You should come for prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your people. We want to grow. You need and you want us to grow. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. It is God who brought the increase. We want to abide in you. Because when we remain in you, that is the point from where our source of nourishment will come from. Let us grow, oh God. Let us increase. Let us abound. Let us go higher. Let us go deeper. Let us spread our wings.
Let every limitation be taken away. May we spread our wings. May you go from grace to grace and from glory to glory. Let us be fruitful and multiply. May you find us profitable, O God. May you find us fruitful. That you don't cut us off from the true vine. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. Above all, I pray for your spirit, for your people. That the Holy Ghost will be our companion. That the Holy Spirit will be our helper. Those that are not filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, fill them tonight with the Holy Ghost. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Let them be filled with the Spirit of God, that they will be inspired to read and inspired to understand. So they will grow thereby. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' name. You are here tonight, you are not saved, you are not born again. If you were to die right now, ask somebody today where they will go if they were to die right now, whether they will go to heaven or hell. The person said boldly, I'll go to heaven. I said, wow, it's a blessing. I hope we stay on the same street when we go to heaven. You are here tonight, you are not born again, you are not saved. If you were to die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. While every eye is closed, every head is bowed, you want to lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. Your right hand up high. Just your right hand. Close your eyes, everybody. Your right hand up high. Just your right hand. God bless you. You're not sure. Just be sure before you leave here tonight. I see that right hand. God bless you. Pastor, please pray with me. Your right hand up high. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to come to the front. Come. Come to me. Come. Come. I'm waiting for you. Come. Some young ladies there. Come. I want to pray for you. God bless you.
Lord, I lay me down. Bring me up myself. I belong to you.
You want
to
join them? Come quickly. You want to give your heart to Christ tonight? Come. God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you tonight. Give your life to Christ. It may be your last chance tonight. Don't miss this opportunity. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Before we pray, just come. Come. You don't know what is going to happen to you tonight. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus tonight. Bless you. What are your names? What is your name? Come closer. Come. Are you afraid? You frightened? Natalia? Okay. And her, what's your name? Shondell or Tell? Shontell. Use Tell and use Sean. Sean and Tell. Okay. And what's your name? Shanaz. Shanaz. Wow. Close your eyes with me, church. And pray this prayer after me. Let the church join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father. I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe Jesus is Lord. And he rose again on the third day. I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart. To be my Savior and my Master. I believe that I can only be saved by Jesus. And by this simple prayer, I am saved from hell. I am born again. My name is written in the book of life. And I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Father, I pray for these young ladies. I pray that, Lord, from today, they will continue and begin the race of time. And that they will grow. They will grow. Water them, O God, so they grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. May their knowledge of Jesus increase day by day. Let them not be taken off and away from their stability. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.